This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Lines are wide open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Rob couldn't hang on, but he did bring up a topic that I did want to bring up myself, in that there's everybody's freaking out about 5G, right? All the health warnings and who you're going to believe. And, you know, people are, you know, turning off their Wi-Fi at night. And I mean, look, you're going to find people believe whatever they want to believe. You still have people that believe the earth is flat. You still have people who believe that, you know, if you have a vaccine, you know, it's going to harm you versus save your life from getting the flu and dying. You know, there's so many folks out there that are going to believe whatever they want to believe. And there's an article here I'm reading about a San Francisco community. Again, this is a high-tech area where the folks in the San Francisco area are trying to block putting up 5G installations. And they say that, you know, in this one instance, that the 5G antenna was poorly affixed to the single pole, allowing it to either fall or be blown off. And that's they said that the San Francisco's Public Works Department didn't give them enough time to weigh in on the process. So somehow, again, a Public Works Department. Now, if you look at your town's public works period, these guys are amazing guys and gals. They're amazing people, right? They know what to do when it comes to affixing things. And so does the company who's affixing the thing to the pole, understands that by having a thing blow off or fall down, that would probably be a bad thing to do. You're not using, you know, like zip ties and duct tape to attach this. It's the year 2019. I think we understand that if you attach something to a pole, it needs to be attached properly. And these guys are saying, oh, it's going to fall down.
Well, there are studies that say that cell phone use increases the incidences of brain cancer.
Right. They've said that forever.
I'm reading an article from the Mayo Clinic right in front of me that where they studied incidences of brain cancer over time.
Right.
And there was a huge spike in incidences of brain cancer in the 1970s before cell phones were even invented.
Right. So again, who are you going to believe? It really comes down to the whole not in my backyard crowd. Heck, obviously you want 5G to be a safe technology, but because we can't get out of our own way with even putting fiber on those 40-foot sticks of wood in the ground, here in America, we're not capable of running fiber without having the incumbent broadband providers block it, make it impossible for us to get high-speed internet to our homes cheaply. Why would anybody be surprised that we're going to have 5G as a problem too? It's just the nature of those folks whose cheese is going to get moved.
Well, what's the problem with these companies having a monopoly on the poles and being able to charge us $250 for internet?
I guess, I don't know, Bob. Maybe it's okay. You're right. So we'll put a link up here for some of these articles. But Rob, you know, who to believe? You going to believe the government FDA certified beef? I don't know. These days, is that something you can believe? Who are you going to believe? I don't know anymore. You can't believe the news. It's all fake. So who are you going to believe? I don't know who you're going to believe. Are you going to believe a big corporation like Google and Facebook are out there doing everything benevolently? Well, I don't think so. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Amazon? You're giving all your information to Amazon?
Well, they got to pay their employees somehow.
I don't know. I mean, who are you going to believe? 5G is coming, right? And 5G should bring all sorts of additional technological improvements to our lives.
Oh, God, competition and high speed. Wow.
Yeah.
What a concept.
The problem will be, though, if it's the same companies popping it up. You know, that's the only problem. If we're not going to get competition, then we're just going to get nailed again as far as how much we're going to spend. All depends on the politicians they pay off.
Time to move to Whip City.
Yeah, Whip City Fiber's got it laid out. They laid that fiber out there, and they've got a deal. Go NetSpeed has been trying to do the same thing, but they keep getting blocked by folks like Pura, and they get blocked by the incumbents on the poles, not letting them put up their fiber lines. You know, it's just welcome to Connecticut, and welcome to the United States. Let's go to Bob in Wethersfield. What's going on, Bob?
Hi, good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks.
question about the risk of public Wi-Fi that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Here's where I get very confused, and it's like a two-part question, but they're related.
Okay.
If I use a VPN, it's going to encrypt it going out from my end through the other end.
Correct.
As HTTPS.
Yes.
But if I connect to a bank, every bank uses HTTPS also, so why is the VPN any safer than just connecting to the bank directly using an HTTPS connection? And the second part of that is there not some risk because after it leaves, whatever I'm connecting to is the server that actually does the surfing of the Internet on the other
right,
end
of right.
the VPN. Isn't there a risk there that somebody could say, oh, look, here's something that appears to be a termination of a VPN. Let's monitor what they're doing.
So, yes, let's talk about those issues.
Okay.
And the last one first. So the VPN service, if it's a real service, mm-hmm. is not going to have hackers sitting in a booth behind you, right? So it's a company whose servers are sitting there whose purpose in life is to offer you a safe, secure way to surf. So you're going to pop out on their side, like you just said, and then you're going to get to your HTTPS connection to your bank, and that all is going to be secure. If there's a rogue person in that server area, just like anything with the cloud, right? If there's somebody involved in the IT side of things that happens to be a rogue technician, I can't stop that, right? So it becomes back. It comes down to anything is technically hackable. There is no right now totally secure way, but it is much more secure to use a VPN than to not use a VPN in a public area. As long as you know where your VPN is coming from. Not a Chinese VPN,
right?
You know, get a you'd think it's obvious.
Okay, but explain to me why is not a bank connection that I have an HTTPS port that I know is legitimate, that the certificate belongs to the bank, not somebody trying to mimic the certificate.
Well, because you're on the public network. So yes, you're right in that your communication on that particular site is secure, but the bad guy sitting in the booth behind you is trying to packet capture what you're doing. Okay, and so by not being on a VPN, you have a chance for him to figure out where you're going on the network and try to get in between you. Technically, you're kind of right in that when you're on that HTTPS connection, it should be secure. But why would you want to put yourself in more risk if you had a way to better secure that communication and not have to worry about having the person on that public network try to sniff you out?
Okay, I get that, but couldn't the same person who's sitting behind me in the coffee shop also do a man-in-the-middle kind of thing going to the VPN?
No, like I said, when the VPN pops out, it is on a secure server.
At the entry to the VPN, in other words, where I'm connecting to the VPN from...
No, it's encrypted. That's a secure connection between you and the server, period. Nobody's getting in between that. It's encrypted.
Okay.
It's only when you pop out on the other end, I would contend there might be some risk. But you'd have to then pretty much go to do the Jimmy Carter approach and just go back to paper and pencil, right?
Right.
So I think you're fine there. And it's good that you're thinking about these things because you shouldn't be doing anything of any importance in a public network anyways. I mean, your banking can wait, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Your banking, checking your financial statements, anything that you think is something that you'd want to be secure can wait when you're in a private network. The only thing you can maybe consider is looking at email and stuff like that. But even that, I mean, if you're on a public network, there could be people in there trying to get into your system with using all sorts of tools, you know, that will actually give them the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that helps a little bit. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Bob, good luck.
Take care.
Yep, take care. Bye-bye. So we're here till 11 o'clock, four lines wide open on this steamy summer day. Yes, we have them regularly every year. I know the weathermen and ladies have freaked you out. You're probably inside, afraid to open the door. So if you are, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Two lines open for you. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to Dave in Plymouth first. Hey, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Warm and miserable.
Like everyone said you're going to be.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I have a question on Proton email.
Yeah.
I've got email at work that I use, for a lot of my own stuff. I also have a Gmail account.
Yeah.
And I just... don't really trust Google a whole lot.
I wouldn't.
You spoke about Proton email. I looked it up on the internet and so forth.
Yeah.
Can you, in layman's terms, just explain why it's safer than, obviously Yahoo, but Gmail or anything like that?
Well, it's supposed to be encrypted to start. So Proton will tell you that they have no way to look at your email, period. Even if somebody asks them for it, they can't get access to it because it's encrypted. Secondarily, it's located in Switzerland. And we've already known how well the Swiss hide whatever they hide. And they also worked with MIT to develop this system. So if you think about MIT, Switzerland, and encryption, it's a pretty good option. And all the reviews I've seen, too, seem to be very good when it comes to what Proton can offer. There's other solutions out there for other email systems if you want more secure. But Gmail would be the antithesis of that. Google's reading your email to see what you're interested in so they can market whatever you were emailing about it within your email. So, I mean, they say they weren't, but they were, and they probably still are, even though they'll tell you they're not. But come on.
It's targeted spam.
You're not saying I'm a commodity, are you?
Yeah, no, of course not. No. Check them out. It's definitely worth looking at if you're looking for a more secure way that's available out there.
And I know they have a free version and a pay version. But the free version has the same encryption, et cetera?
As I understand it, it does, yes.
Okay.
So
that's what I wanted to hear.
All right. Good luck, Dave.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Right now we have very few email options out there that are, quote-unquote, secure. You'd actually think that the U.S. Postal Service, of the entities that might be interested in creating an email system, although we probably wouldn't use it because now it's...
Then they'd be charging us 50 cents an email.
That's true. And it's government email, so we probably would, it'd be in somebody's bathroom or something like that. Let's go on to Carol in Glastonbury. Hey, Carol, what's up?
Hi. I hope I can explain this. It's about my brother's phone. So I visited him recently.
Yeah.
He used to have a track phone. That company was purchased by another company, and they provided him with really what is, in essence, kind of a smartphone.
All right.
He just buys his minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still using AOL.
Oh, boy.
But he doesn't remember programming AOL on this phone, so I think his previous phone had it somewhere in the past. They must have, put it on there.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was happily using his AOL on his laptop and on his new phone, and we wanted to put an app on his phone, and it said, "Do you have a Google account?" I said, "Well, we could just do you a Google account."
Yeah, sure.
Which asks for you to set up a Gmail account.
Right.
And so when we were done putting this silly app on there,
yeah,
he had no AOL anymore.
Wow.
It's like they took over the email.
They just said, no AOL for you. We are now the sole control of email, huh?
I felt like they took control. And
I've never seen that happen. Maybe it was in the URL, the EULA, I should say, that said, hey, if you bring us out, we're going to kill AOL. They shouldn't do that. That shouldn't be the case.
I was shocked. And, I mean, I have a Gmail account, but I have another account that's more secure than that I've used for years for my business. So I thought, no big deal. I don't think that'll be a problem. So I went back, removed the Gmail, removed Google. They said Gmail account has been removed, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
But he can't do AOL.
He still, AOL, is that an app? Bob had a comment.
Well,
no, I don't know that it's an app. I don't know.
Well, that's half the battle here, Carol. If he's just browsing to AOL, that should be something he'd be able to do. But if it's an AOL app on your smartphone, that's different.
Okay, so
Bob,
when you were
he did not have an app. No, that's his browse. His browser. The word has always had AOL as his mail account.
All right. So, Bob, what do you want to say?
So, what I was saying when you were putting the Google app on there, as you were going through you typically go through a next type of situation.
Yes. Right.
There may have been something in there that said, "Do you want to remove the AOL app?" But most people don't read it. Well, when you're installing the Google piece, if you don't read every page and just hit next because you're in a hurry to get it done,
yeah.
things go by where you're either loading things you don't really want or need, or you're taking things off that you really didn't want to.
But did he use a little beach ball on his phone to surf to AOL? Is that what he was doing?
No.
How did he get to AOL, Carol?
I don't know. He always, whenever we said, okay, here's email, let's open up the email, you know, little icon.
Oh.
His AOL was always there.
So there probably was an email app that was on the phone that you have told to replace it with Gmail's app when you loaded Gmail's mail.
I bet you're right, because I do remember one request that, you know, what's your email? And I put the Gmail account in there, and I bet that's what they were there. Maybe they were obliterating the other.
Yeah, whatever came
now,
with that track.
I tried to send him Gmail to email to his Gmail account, and it bounces back.
Oh.
So it acts like you
removed it.
Can send him an email at the Gmail account. It bounces back.
Right.
But he doesn't have AOL anymore.
But you removed it, Carol, right? You removed Gmail.
Yes, I did.
Well, that's why that would bounce.
Right. So we were happy about that.
Okay,
but
good.
We don't have AOL now.
Okay, so
here's
what you have to do. Believe it or not, you're going to put back the Gmail mail system. All right?
Okay.
It's that little red M, right, that looks like an envelope. You're going to put that back on his phone, and you're going to configure a Gmail account, which he doesn't have to use, but you can configure multiple mailboxes within that same mail app. And you have to create an AOL box. So you have to know his address and his password, and you put that into that app, and now you're going to be able to receive Gmail and AOL mail. If he had an Exchange account, you could add that to that mailbox. You could add as many mailboxes as you want to that Gmail. Which what happened was the client, the little mail client that was on the phone, I think, originally you blew away because Gmail said, hey, I'm coming in. You don't want this anymore, right? And you said, next, next, next. You said, yes. So you need to now go into the Gmail app, add the AOL account. He needs to know his username and password. I mean, his password was password anyways. We know that. set that up, and you should be able to reuse both email systems. It's kind of a neat little app. I mean, I don't like the little app, but it works. I used to like the other old Android mail app versus this one.
Yeah.
But it is something you can set up. Does that make sense?
Reload the and will it be his old, is it like creating a new Gmail account or?
You can recreate the Gmail account you had.
They might
allow that to still exist. Set that up and then add another mailbox, which is the AOL mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Or just tell him to stop using AOL for crying out loud. I can't believe it's still in business.
He's somewhat set in his ways.
Sure, sure.
He just likes to hear, you've got mail.
Yeah. I did
have one comment. Thank you very much. I did have one comment about the public access.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I was in Florida, and my son was running in a marathon. We took pictures. And so when we went back to the hotel, we said, let's look at our pictures.
Yeah.
So I opened my, that gallery.
Yeah.
And we were like, who are these people? What are these pictures? We had someone else's family pictures coming up in my gallery.
On your phone?
Yeah.
Well, that's
family
weird.
Vacation. And I was like, what in the world? And we both looked at it, and I said, and, we went out of that. We might have come back once more and saw them, but then we tried to come back, and it was just our pictures.
It sounds like your clouds were crossed.
Yeah, that really impressed upon me what you mean when you say when you're in a public area, you're not secure.
You're not safe and secure.
You know, if that helps anybody to see how that can happen.
That's creepy, Carol. I don't even know how that happened.
Very creepy.
But thanks for the story.
Because we were on the hotel's internet.
Yep. Yeah, I understand. It shouldn't have happened that way, but I understand. I hope that helps you.
Okay.
All right, Carol.
So much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, so stick around, guys. A half an hour to go. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So stick around to the news. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Three lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll try to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. If you have concerns about 5G, our government has appointed a council the Connecticut Council on 5G to try to grease the skids when it comes to bureaucracy, trying to site these antennas on state land. And did he fill the council with all sorts of smart IT and engineering and business leaders? Heck no. He filled it with politicians and bureaucrats. So I'm sure that's going to make things lovely and fast. Every single person on this commission, from what I can tell, knows as much about 5G as anybody else does. Zero. Other than that there's a 5 and there's a G. It's breathtaking, but it's typical Connecticut. We're still revolutionary. Keeping things rolling as always. Yes.
Hey, you want to buy an Apollo era Saturn V rocket?
No.
Okay. Well, they'll give it to you for free.
Really? Is it like space? Isn't it like surplus?
It's surplus. Yeah. They'll give it to you for free, but you got to pay the $250,000 it takes to ship it.
Oh, that's a big bill. I don't want that.
Yeah.
We think they'd recycle that. Let's go to Dan. Well, before we do this, we're going to go to Dan in a second, but you had found that the guy who did the voice of AOL's You Got Mail is now what?
He's an Uber driver. can link to that.
He must not have gotten paid for every time it said You've Got Mail. That contract was not well written. Let's go to Dan in Newington. Hey, Dan.
How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Just a couple of little simple quick questions.
Okay.
VPN networks, I only know of two. Is any one of them better than the other one?
Well, which two do you know about?
Nord VPN and Norton.
Yep, Norton is a pretty popular one out there. You know, Rush talks about it. Nord, yeah. I have heard of. I'm not sure who operates it. I like Proton VPN. They have one as well. That's what I use. NordVPN is officially recommended by PC Magazine. The only question is it a Chinese company or not?
That makes sense.
Just double check that. Norton is probably a safer one because it's a commercially well-known company.
Right.
I got it.
The use of these VPNs, does that affect in any way the email or the site visiting, incoming, outgoing emails? Slow them down, check them, does it do anything to them?
Well, yes, you can have performance impacts by using any kind of VPN because now your communications are encrypted, and the speed of your internet now is kind of dictated by the servers you're connecting to.
Oh, okay.
So you can experience some performance hits using VPN.
Okay. No, I didn't know if it knocks them out or anything, but as far as the slowdown of a couple of minutes or half hour for sending and receiving, it does really matter on my end, but just thinking about the... If it knocks everything out.
No, it won't knock anything out.
Okay. That's about all I had. Was there a better one than...
Tech Radar did an article on 100 VPN services. So 100? And then they supposedly categorized them as the best. So they actually rated them, so... If you want to learn about different competitors.
Tech Radar. We have a link to it for you on computertalkwithtab.com. The only question you have to be careful of is to make sure you know who the VPN company is.
Right.
Right. So before you choose the VPN, even though Tech Radar decided, hey, here are the best ones, journalists.
We were reading an article that showed, I think it was about a third of the VPN providers out there are Chinese companies.
Right. Third of the ones that are rated the best. Careful. I mean, some of these journalists really just, they don't even write the articles. They're just given to them by the manufacturers.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, that's the case in almost in any article you read these days. They're not writing. It's the corporations write the article, submit it to the journalists, and the journalists just regurgitate it.
Oh, that's wonderful. that's wonderful. One other little question is, I do get a lot of pop-ups coming in the lower right of the screens on a Windows 10 system. A lot of pop-ups come up.
Yep.
From people I don't want to hear from necessarily, but I thought I went up to the three dots up above on the right. I thought I got rid of them, but that only lasted for half a day, and then they all come back. They all come back again.
The three dots on the right when you're in a Chrome browser.
Up on top, yeah, the little three dots, vertical three dots there. There's some kind of a setting in there you can go get rid of them, and didn't get rid of them. So nothing else. Anything else?
Well, it's not enough information for me to tell you where to block those pop-ups from occurring. You know, it depends on if it's a advertisement. You can always turn on ad blocking within Chrome and within Firefox, depending on what you're running for a browser. It sounds like you're running Chrome.
Right. Ad blocking, okay.
Turn ad block. Yeah, are you doing anything with these pop-ups? People, you said these are people you don't want to hear from. Are these specific companies, or what's happening?
Well, the sales pitches from them that I prefer not to hear from. I can get it through an email from them, or
okay.
I just don't want to get additional pop-ups that are just driving me nuts.
Yeah, the ad blocking is probably what you want to kind of turn on when it comes to settings within Chrome. That might help you.
What is that through? Something up in a Google setting or something?
It'd be in your settings on Chrome.
A Chrome setting? Yeah, okay.
Yep, it's a Chrome setting. We can actually give you a link to how to do it specifically. If that's what's coming up. I'm assuming that's what's coming up.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's people I probably already do business with. They got several different arms.
Oh.
They got several different divisions, and it just keeps popping up.
Well, you might have also volunteered for that. Sometimes when you go on websites, they actually ask you, would you like us to notify you? And you say yes or no, and the websites could be doing that.
Yeah.
So you might have asked for it there, Dan. Sorry.
I got to get into the techie stuff. It took me a month to figure out how to get rid of the noise from push notifications on my cell phone. I finally did it this last week, and I don't get the noise anymore.
Nice.
Which is annoying. Where I am somewhere at an office, a business office, it's kind of annoying, but now it just comes up at the ad.
Right.
The loud noise kind of went away. Okay, so I'll try that ad blocking.
Yeah, turn that on. You can turn that those settings on. We'll put a link for you.
In the Chrome, okay.
Yep.
What do I have to do? Stay on the line and talk to somebody about an email address? Or?
No. You go to computertalkwithtab.com and the link will be up there for you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, Dan.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Got to be careful with the VPNs, though. Yeah, make sure you know the VPN you're using. And make sure the company is not something you would be like, oh, wait a minute. NordVPN does seem to be a really pretty good one. So far, I haven't done much research on it, but I guess it's another very large brand.
They advertise a lot.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying. They advertise a lot, so they're trying to be known, get their name out there.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to Max in Enfield. What's he got cooking out there? Hey, Max.
Hi. Sometimes when I'm bringing up a document, it seems to come up in waves, horizontal lines, until the whole picture appears. Or sometimes with a photograph, it does the same thing. And
so it's very slow to paint?
I'm sorry?
It's very slow to paint on the screen?
Yes.
All right.
Typically, that means it's a huge image file that hasn't been kind of manipulated for the web.
Right. Is this a browser-based thing, or is it a local-based thing when you're bringing up a local picture on your computer or a web-based picture?
Either.
Either. Okay. How old is your machine, Max? What are you running?
I figured you'd get to that question. It's about 9 years old.
9 years old? Is it an i3 with barely a video card in it?
Or maybe it's a Pentium.
Is it a Pentium? Is it a Core 2 Duo? We're not trying to make fun of you, but it may not be capable of processing the image very well because of its hardware.
You may not have a very good video card embedded on the motherboard as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I listen to the show, and I enjoy the show.
Yeah.
I enjoy sometimes your comments like that that sighting council made up with the Connecticut Brain Trust.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the technical stuff, and I know a lot of times it's a sign of age on the machine.
In this case, it probably is either a sign of age, or it's just that you don't have the processing power to begin with to properly paint the images. If the image is local on your computer, like a picture you've got there, and it takes a while to paint on the screen, it just means you can't process it. Your video card is not capable of processing it very well. And so you either have to deal with it as far as the fact that it's really slow, or consider upgrading. And at 9 years, your machine owes you nothing.
You might be hard pressed to find a video card that'll actually work in your computer at that age.
Yeah, you can't buy a video card. Yeah, replace the machine.
I figure the machine at 9 years has cost me about $100 a year, so I've done all right.
It's cheaper than a car tax in Connecticut.
It is. Well, I've got a 40-plus-year-old car that's under $100, but...
It's still... they're actually taxing you for that thing at 40 years old?
Yes.
What's the bill? I'm just curious. We're all writing our car tax bills, so I'm just curious.
It's about $56 a year.
$56? Okay, well...
Yeah, it's not a show car. It's just...
Well, that's still $4 and something cents a month.
Yeah, a year.
A month, $4 and something.
Oh, $4. I didn't hear you say that. Yeah. Well, Rich, yeah. I mean, Max, what can I say?
Well, I enjoy the show, and I enjoy your commentaries.
Thanks. Sometimes I just can't hold back. I feel like I'm ranting and raving, but to have a technology council made up of bureaucrats, it's just typical Connecticut. Not a single engineer on that thing. Not a single IT guy. Not a single business leader. University presidents and commissioners. Really? We can't do better than that? I'm sure these people are lovely, but they probably have no clue about 5G.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Bureaucrats think that there's a bureaucratic solution to the problem.
Well, that's the thing. This is a bureaucratic solution to a bureaucratic problem. That's literally what this is. He's solving a problem, he says, about citing 5G on and greasing the skids to get past the bureaucracy. It is using bureaucrats to do it. Are you kidding me?
I think you're looking
It's an oxymoron. It's a double negative.
I think you're looking at it from the wrong perspective.
I guess.
I think they're putting together a panel of bureaucrats to create a problem that then the government needs to solve.
Ah, yes. I didn't think of it that way. Sorry.
I think that's typically how it works.
Think about how many subcommittees they can create after that. To work on the problem.
Well, the thing is, how many studies are they going to generate, right? So because they have no clue, they're going to need to hire IT guys and engineers to perform studies to figure out whether or not they can stick an antenna on the Capitol Dome. And I can tell you right now, it's probably a bad idea to stick an antenna on the Capitol Dome. But I don't need an engineering study to tell me that. Well, but they will.
I know a couple of people have been to the community colleges, and you made a comment about whether they're trying to decide whether to merge or not.
Yeah, they can't even figure that out. And the president of the community colleges is on the same committee.
All the legislature had to do was pass a law that said if you have a 2-year degree from a community college in Connecticut, you're automatically a junior at any of the CSUs. It would have been done.
Well, there you go.
They've been hee-hawing around for 8 years.
Yeah, we've heard that issue. And again, University of Connecticut can't even budget for their athletic department. And again, the president now, this new president, is going to be on this committee. It just doesn't make any sense to me. They couldn't find a single IT guy. They couldn't find anybody from Pratt, anybody from UTC, anybody from Hamilton. These companies put people on the moon. But no, they find commissioners and bureaucrats to deal with 5G. And people are celebrating it. Are you kidding me?
Politicians are celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we are where we are in Connecticut. That's why we can't have nice things. Simple as that, Max. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. It's just ridiculous. It's an oxymoron. It's counterproductive. I couldn't believe it. I was like, all right, this new governor is bringing on some new thinking. Nope, same old thinking.
On steroids.
Exactly. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got Rich and Paul on the line. Hang on. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. I mean, the thing about this whole commission thing that gets me so upset is really that our media just sat there and let them talk about this commission. Not a single one asked the question. Not a single reporter said, hey, Governor, how come there's no IT people on this committee? How come there's no engineers on this committee? They just, okay, here's the committee. It's just lazy, man. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I couldn't believe when I found out this was on the committee. I had to go ask a reporter. I asked one of the reporters from the Hartford Business Journal if he had the information, and he quickly responded, which was awesome. Matt Pylon told me what was in the law. I didn't have a chance to read it, and he quickly got it over to me, which is awesome, from the Hartford Business Journal. They have a whole article on this, by the way, at the Hartford Business Journal about this 5G council. And I was just amazed that not a single reporter said, hey, Governor, what about an engineer on the damn thing? Let's go to Rich in Glastonbury. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your show.
Yeah, thanks.
I have a question. It could be actually going back in time.
Yeah, okay.
But I have many VHS tapes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but they're still good.
Yep.
And I'm more concerned about the content rather than the method of delivery.
Okay.
So I could convert them over to a DVD.
Right.
But what I would like to do is keep the original VHSs and play it on the TV. The TV is fairly new. It's a Samsung 4K 49-inch, and it works very well.
Nice.
Question I have is, I could get the units on the Internet from different distributors and suppliers.
Right, that'll play VHS tape?
VHS and DVD.
Nice.
I want the combination.
Yeah.
But are there any that you could recommend, and are the hookups difficult, and is there anybody I could call to help out?
The hookup shouldn't be difficult. I used to have one of those combo VHS-DVD units myself. It won't. Sometimes they disable the DVD, especially if you have any kind of commercial VHS player in there, because it doesn't want to allow you to copy the DVD if it's a commercial movie. But if it's home, it should allow you to. But the hookup should be pretty straightforward. If you can still find, if you can find them new with HDMI connections, it should be no big deal.
What connection?
HDMI.
What does that mean?
I don't know what the algorithm acronym means, but that's the interface to go from the to your TV. Most of your TV is going to have tons of HDMI interfaces.
Okay.
So you need to go from VHS to HDMI. So whatever that box you buy, it just needs to support HDMI. And if it's current enough, it will. If it's not, you may need to adapt it from, gosh, it'll be like RGB. Like it'll be a old-style RCA connection, red, green, and yellow or something like that, that you'll interface to HDMI. It'll be kind of a funky adapter. You'll have to go to cables and connectors to get a funky adapter for that if that's how it comes.
Is there any place that you could recommend that could do a good convert from
yes.
the VHS to the DVD?
Yes, LegacyBox.com. They have advertised on the station forever. Okay. This is what they do.
Okay. Are they any errors or done by mail?
You drop it in the mail.
Okay. All right, because I might do both. I like to keep the VHS and also get the DVD, but keep the original at the same time, because some of the VHSs are very good training tapes and technical tapes, and they're not available anymore in any format.
Well, the problem is there's no VHS players. I can't believe you found one out there.
Yeah, actually, if you go on the Internet through eBay and Amazon, they're still available.
Really?
But they're going up in price
because
there's fewer available.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but... Yeah. But I want to thank you guys. Enjoy your show. You do a great public service.
Well, thank you for being there, Rich. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. So, yeah, I guess you can get that old stuff still these days.
Yeah, Amazon has one, Samsung, for $98.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to Paul in Litchfield. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning. Okay, you guys are talking about upgrading computers, i3, i5, dual core, quad core.
Yep.
We put that in English.
We're making your hair hurt, huh, Paul? So we were kind of joking.
I don't have hair to hurt.
It's too late.
I'm looking to upgrade, seriously.
Yeah, man. Sure. Sure. Those processors that we listed were all old processors. So we were a little inside geek baseball there for you. As far as the recommendation, we did give it earlier in the show, an 8th gen or better 5G processor. Multiple cores, 2, 4-core, i5. Yep, sorry, i5, not 5G, sorry. 8 gigs of RAM or better, and a solid-state hard drive or a hybrid hard drive of some kind. And those are your minimums. And if you're in that $600 to $800 or even $900 range, it should serve you a long time. If it's a $300 computer, you might have similar specs, but they may not be as quality as I'm mentioning.
It may not last as long.
Right. So it'll be on the podcast. We're coming up against a hard break. So if you need to listen to that again, it's all podcasted over here at WTIC.com.
Oh, great.
All right, Paul, I got to go.
Okay, have a good day, guys.
Thanks, you too. All right, we'll try. It'll save your life. Well, Dr. Alessi is going to be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. I want to thank Matt for producing. And again, stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next.
See you next week.